Good morning. We'll call the budget section to order and ask the clerk to take the roll.
Senator Chairman Lee.
Present.
Bowman. Carlisle.
Yes.
Herbley. Heckman. Holmberg.
Yes.
Kilzer. Klein. Krebsbach. Matherin.
Aye.
O'Connell.
Aye.
Robinson.
Aye.
Schneider. Sorva.
Aye. Are here.
Wanzek. Wardner.
Here.
Representative Baloo.
Here.
Belter.
Here.
Bow. Beening. Brandenburg.
Here.
Carlson.
Here.
Delzer. Dosh. Glassheim. I don't think he's here. Guggisberg.
Here.
Hogan.
Here.
Holman.
Here.
Kempinick.
Here.
Kreit.
Here.
Martinson. Mock. Monson.
Here.
Nelson.
Here.
Onstead. Pollard. Sanford. Schmidt.
Here.
Silbernagle.
Here.
Scarpel.
Here.
Sturry.
Here.
Thorsten.
Here.
Vigasa.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Chris. The agenda today is relatively short. We hope to get done by the time frame that we have allocated to us so we can get back upstairs and finish our work and get out of here. But with that, we'll ask Legislative Council to review the duties and responsibilities.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Chris Cattermas with the Legislative Council. If I can turn your attention to the memorandum that was passed out, it is number 17.9013.01000. These are the duties for the 15-17 biennium for the 15-16 interim budget section. There is, on the first page, there's going to be a list of the continuing duties acted on during the previous biennium. And that'll continue until page 4, just about towards the bottom. It's about 39. And then at the bottom of page 4, it's going to be continuing duties not acted on during the previous biennium. That shall continue until the top of page 6. And then starting at number 60 are the new duties for budget section, for a total of 84, which is the same amount that was in the previous biennium. And then, Mr. Chairman, if there are any questions, I can answer those.
Question for Council on the duties? All right. Thank you, Chris. Anything else for us? Okay. Continuing on the agenda, status of the general fund, we have OMB, Pam?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of Budget Section. For the record, my name is Pam Sharp. I'm the Director of the Office of Management and Budget. And I'll give everyone just a few more seconds to get a copy of the handout before I start. Okay, beginning on the first page is the status of the general fund, and this is through the end of May, May 31st. The first part, the beginning balance, are the same numbers you've seen for the last 2 years. When we get to the revenues, these are the actual revenue collections through May 31st of $5.6 billion. The remaining forecast is $184 million, and that is based on our revised forecast, includes revenues and transfers that we expect to collect in the month of June, which gives us a total revenues available of $5.7 billion. In the expenditure section are the same numbers that you have seen in the past, includes $55 million in estimated turnback, which is the assumption used throughout the legislative session. It gives us total appropriations of $6.7 billion and would give us an estimated ending balance of $687 million. Now, this balance of $687 million compares to the $598.6 million that was estimated on the last day of the session before you adjourned. So that growth that we're seeing in there is clearly revenue growth for the last few months of the biennium, revenue growth through February through May, and then our estimates for the amount of June. At the bottom of the page, you'll find some selected fund balances, again, through the end of May. Budget Stabilization Fund of $583 million. This is the actual cash balance. Legacy Fund of $3.3 billion. Foundation Aid Stabilization Fund of $601 million. Property Tax Relief, $657 million. The SIF Fund of $887 million. However, $846 million of that is obligated. I do want to make a note about the Budget Stabilization Fund. It's $583 million as of the end of May. There is a cap in the statute that allows, that dictates that the Budget Stabilization Fund is limited to 9.5% of the general fund appropriation. And now we have a new appropriation for next biennium of $6 billion, and 9.5% of that is $572 million. So this budget stabilization fund is actually going to decrease. In May or in June, we will get a transfer from the budget stabilization fund from the earnings that are in excess of that. But in addition to that, they're going to have to bring that balance down to the $572 million. So the transfer to the general fund will be larger than we expected it would be. The next page is the revenues for the month of May. This is compared to the original legislative forecast and biennium to date compared to the original legislative forecast. You'll see in the first column, the month of May compared to the original was $66 million below our forecast. The biennium to date is $6.2 million ahead of forecast. Now, again, this is compared to our original legislative forecast. In a couple pages, I have some numbers that will show you the month of May compared to our revised forecast. I will note, though, that in sales tax, part of that is due to timing, as the month ended on a weekend. In individual income tax, all of that is due to timing. During the month of April, our individual income taxes were exceptionally strong. During the month of May, a bunch of refunds went out, so it just kind of nets together. The next page is our revenues compared to the previous biennium. And if we could just jump to the right-hand side, you'll see that, you know, with 1 month to go of the biennium, our revenue collections are $13.2 million ahead of the previous biennium, which amounts to $651 million, which I think just tells a really good story of the strength of the revenues for the current biennium. The next page is, we don't usually, it's a new schedule that we don't usually do, but given that we do have a revised revenue forecast since the legislature adjourned, this is how our actual collections for the month of May would have compared to our revised revenue forecast. And again, we're still down in sales tax by about $31 million. We believe part of that is due to timing. The other part, we really won't know until we get our June collections in to see. We could have actually been down for the month of June. And then motor vehicle, we're still behind the eight ball on motor vehicle collections. Individual and corporate income taxes, both of those are clearly timing issues. But compared to the new forecast, we were still $51 million behind just for the month. The next page is, it will require me to do a lot of explaining. There's a trigger in OMB's appropriation bill that says if the revenue collections for the months of February, March, April, May, and June, excluding transfers, are $20 million ahead of the estimates for those months based on our revised forecast, then there is a $20 million contingent appropriation that would be available to DOT. So the bottom of the page is just kind of a reconciliation that shows us how we get to what the actual revenue assumptions were for the last 5 months of the biennium, excluding transfers, which shows $914 million. And then at the top of the page, I've listed the actual collections for February, March, April, May, and then I've listed our June estimate, excluding transfers, which if we would hit that estimate, we would be at a little over $1 billion for those 5 months. And then our legislative forecast for those 5 months is the $950 million. This is the typo, it should be 914. And then if to add another $20 million to that estimate to get to the amount that we would need to collect in order for the trigger to happen would be $935 million. So if you compare that $935 that we would need to get to trigger to the $1,003 that it appears that we might be if we hit our estimate in June, then it shows that we should reach that trigger for DOT to get that contingent appropriation. We'd have about $78 million of leeway in the month of June and still be able to hit that trigger. So it looks very positive that that trigger will be met. The next page, and we weren't asked, the agenda doesn't ask for this, but I know that everyone is wondering what, now that the trigger, the big trigger did not happen because the prices were higher in the month of May, so what does that do to our revenue forecast for oil collections? So this shows a new estimate of oil revenue collections compared to the original, the legislative one that assumed the trigger would be in effect for 11 months. So this estimate in the middle column just takes the average price of oil during the month of May and holds that even for those 11 months that we thought we were going to be in a trigger mode. And then we go back to our regular forecast after that. And that shows that we could potentially collect $527 million more than that trigger forecast. The last column shows where that $527 million would flow into the different buckets. The legacy fund would get $147 million more. The strategic investment and improvement fund would get $113 million more. Political subdivisions, $5.8 million more. And that would be basically just based on the higher price for those 11 months. And then the political subdivision allocation fund, this is the 30% from the CIS fund that would go back to the political subdivisions, that will come out to about $48 million more. And then foundation aid stabilization, common schools trust fund, and the resources trust fund, which will receive $85 million that they would not have received had the trigger been into effect. A little bit of money for the Outdoor Heritage Fund and $3.9 million for the Well Plugging and Site Reclamation Fund. So I think we'll probably track to both of these estimates as we go forward, but so this isn't an official revenue forecast. It's just a scenario of what we could potentially collect if the prices just remained at the May average for those 11 months with no trigger. The next page, I've been asked to report on the tobacco settlement trust fund money. And if you look to the very bottom of the page, you'll see the two dates for 4/15/15 and May 15/15, where we received this year's allocation of about $19.7 million from the Tobacco Settlement Trust Fund. And then those funds were allocated out to the Community Health Trust Fund, the Common Schools Trust Fund, and the Water Development Trust Fund. And then on the next page is the Tobacco Prevention and Control Trust Fund. And if you look at towards the bottom of the schedule, you'll see that they collected about $11 million more for their 2015 allocation. In total, to the Prevention and Control Trust Fund has received $82 million so far. Two final things that we are required to report on. The agencies that have applied for federal grants, the Department of Public Instruction has applied for a $125,000 a year grant over 3 years, and the State Library has applied for a $40,000 grant for 9 months. And then last but not least of what I've been asked to report on are the fiscal irregularities, which I believe we do report to you every 3 months or 6 months. Just three adjustments. In April of 2015, Parks and Recreation paid out a settlement agreement for $13,000. Department of Public Instruction provided some retroactive pay to an employee as a temporary workload adjustment for performing some duties related to an unfilled position. And there was a fiscal irregularity in the Office of Administrative Hearings, and that was they simply overpaid their accrued salary line. They paid out more than the 75% in the first 18 months of the biennium from their accrued leave line. However, the agency will not be overspending in total. It was just that one line that's limited to the 18 months. So overall, they are fine with their budget. It's just they exceeded that 75% rule in one line item. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes all of the information I had. I'd be happy to take any questions.
Questions for Pam on information she's provided? Any questions? Representative Onstead.
Thank you. Pam, on page 6, on the middle column, your estimated revenues, what is our current production for May, and what production were you using to determine your estimation?
Mr. Chairman, I read in the paper, I know our production, I think that was for April though. I don't think we have our May production numbers yet. I think the last month it was just down slightly. But we were assuming in that revenue forecast 1.1 million basically for every month. But I can't remember exactly what the latest number we got for actual production was.
And then if I could just follow up, Mr. Chairman, price is basically what we've
assumed that in the month of we assumed that starting in June we would be in trigger mode and that the price would be lower than the 55 WTI, which is discounted for North Dakota. I don't know. I mean, the West Texas averaged about $63 a barrel, or 62 for the month of May. I don't know exactly what the North Dakota price was.
But what price were we using when you determined your estimates here?
I believe we were using a North Dakota price of about like 42 for this period of time.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Continuing on the agenda, are the emergency commission approvals for requests. There's five of them, and typically they, we vote on those in aggregate unless there's some or one that someone wants to pull out, and we have to, we will vote on it individually, but we'll do a vote on all five at the end unless somebody wants to take one out and vote on it separately. So, Senator Mather.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. One of my concerns about these items is the fact that we are meeting as a legislature at the very same time the budget section is meeting. And it's been my experience that we've used the budget section process to maintain activity in government that needs to be done because the legislature is not in session. And I just note that irregularity here, each of these items, to my estimation, appear worthy, but with the legislature in session, it appears to me that the legislature should make these decisions and not the budget section. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I just raise that, and I wonder if any consideration was given to the legislature actually making these decisions, as the legislature is here and the legislature represents every district and the budget section does not.
Well, Senator Mather, I don't think those considerations were made. It went through the typical process of the emergency commission and then the budget section, expecting the budget section was going to handle these, and that's the process that was used. So here we are in terms of needing to respond to them today in that fashion. Further questions? Okay, we'll proceed with the 1859 request.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the budget section. I'm Sheila Peterson, the director of the Fiscal Management Division of OMB. I will quickly go through the five emergency commission items that have been forwarded on to budget section for your consideration. The first one is a transfer of $80,000 from the operating expenses line item to the capital assets line item for a remodeling project for the state auditor's office. You may recall during the 2013 session, you did give additional dollars to the state auditor's office for rent because they their third floor offices weren't able to accommodate their staff. Instead, however, they took the initiative of remodeling their space so that they do fit in the capital. So they had these dollars left over in their operating line item, which was originally thought to be used for rent, but with the actual remodeling project, they can keep everyone here and not pay that outside rent. The next two items are fairly unique. These are items that have actually already been appropriated by the entire legislative body, but the statute relative to the Adjutant General spending money from the state disaster relief fund on disaster expenses is
Sheila,
actually
before you that one, is there any questions on the first one, the 1859 request from the auditor? Any questions on that one? Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Sheila.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. There is a three-step process in statute related to the Adjutant General spending any money from the state disaster relief fund. The first step is for the legislature to appropriate these dollars, which you did, $5 million in a deficiency for to repay the Bank of North Dakota, and $27.3 million for disaster relief payments in the upcoming biennium. So the legislature has appropriated these dollars. The second step is for the Emergency Commission to approve them, which they did. And the third step is for Budget Section to approve them. And so that's why we're here today on request number 1860 and 1861. These have already been appropriated by the full legislature.
Questions on those?
Okay. The next one is a request from the Attorney General to transfer $70,000 from the state contingency appropriation to their operating line item, which is used for prosecution witness fees. It's always very difficult to estimate how much they will need to pay out to district courts for witness fees. And just as an aside, the Emergency Commission statutes do indicate if there's any of this $70,000 from the contingency fund left over come June 30, or when we close out the biennium, that does revert back to the contingency fund, and then of course any leftovers in the contingency fund reverts back to the general fund as turn back. Any questions on this one?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Scarpo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sheila, can you tell us how much money he's received out of the contingency fund for this purpose in this biennia, and how that would compare to what was appropriated for this next biennia with regard to this? Was there a comparison done?
Mr. Chairman, let me see if I have that schedule in my papers here. Let me answer your second question first, Mr. Chairman, Representative Scarpo. I believe relative to prosecution witness fees alone, there has been, between the appropriation and additional dollars from the contingency fund over the interim, they have gotten around $210,000. If my memory serves me right, the original budget was around $100,000, and that is in the current biennium and is the same for the upcoming biennium.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sheila, they got some deficiency appropriation money during the session approved as well.
Yes.
Do you recall the amount of that?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that was $40,000, and that was for prosecution witness fees. I did find my schedule. The Attorney General, what I can't tell from this spreadsheet, however, I can tell how much went to the Attorney General, but I don't know that all of it was for prosecution witness fees. Some of these contingency funds could have been for other items. But back in March of 2014, they received $68,500. In June of 2014, $84,000. In November of 2014, they received a total of $65,000.
Further questions on?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
This request, Representative Scarpo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sheila, do they have transfer authority enough that they can typically move some money within their budget? I don't recall. Do they have any ability to move money, or do they have to come to the contingency fund if they exceed their appropriation for the witness, whatever it's called?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Scarpo, they did examine their operating line item to see if they could possibly cover this, and they felt that they were pretty much down to the wire and needed to seek contingency funds.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might. My question is whether or not in this next biennium, do they have enough transfer authority that they could move money within their budget, you know, to cover some of this?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know the
okay.
answer to that question.
Further questions? Right. Continue, Sheila.
Mr. Chairman, the final request is from the Office of the State Treasurer. The all of the certifications of the actual cost of the 12% property tax relief credit program were certified by the tax department last week, and they were about $500,000 short. Fortunately, however, the State Treasurer's Office did have a line item from a township allocation line item, which has not and will not be used under the distribution formula for townships. And so this request is to transfer that unused authority from the township allocation line item to the property tax relief credit program to keep whole the counties during this current, for the two tax years in the 13-15 biennium. Those are your five requests, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on the treasurer's request? No questions? Any questions at all on the remainder? Any discussion on the five requests that we have before us that Sheila presented? If not, we'll ask for a motion. Senator Robinson?
Second.
Senator Krebsbaugh? We have a motion and a second to approve those five requests that have been endorsed by the Emergency Commission. We'll ask the council to take the roll. Well, any discussion first? Any questions or discussion? All right, we'll take the roll.
Senator Chairman Lee?
Aye.
Bowman?
Aye.
Carlisle?
Yes.
Herbley?
Yes.
Heckman?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Aye.
Kilzer?
Aye.
Klein?
Aye.
Krebsbach?
Aye.
Matherin?
Aye.
O'Connell?
Aye.
Robinson? Schneider?
Aye.
Sorva?
Aye.
Wanzek?
Aye.
Wardner?
Aye.
Representative Ballou?
Yes.
Belter?
Yes.
Bow?
No.
Bainey?
No.
Brandenburg?
Yes.
Carlson?
Yes.
Delzer? Dosh?
Yes.
Biggisberg?
Yes.
Hogan?
Yes.
Holman?
Yes.
Kempenick?
Yes.
Kreit?
Yes.
Munson?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Onstead?
Yes.
Pullert?
Aye.
Sanford?
Yes.
Schmidt? Silbernagle?
Yes.
Scarpel?
No.
Straley?
Yes.
Forson?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, motion carried.
Thank you. The motion carries. You will note on the bottom of your agenda there's an item there of Secretary of State request. I'll let you read the narrative, but the reason we're not acting on that one is it's below the $50,000 threshold that requires budget approval. The Emergency Commission did support that, but you can read the narrative there on the Secretary of State's request. The final agenda item is the Legacy and Stabilization Fund Advisory Board report. Representative Kempenich, why don't you please?
We'll spend an hour here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name's Keith Kempnick. I'm state representative from District 39 and also chairman of the Legacy Budget Stabilization Fund. We had a meeting yesterday on, kind of got updated on the budget stabilization and the legacy fund, and basically, if you want to read through some of what we discussed yesterday, it's in a pamphlet that you have here, and I won't read this verbatim, but the highlights are that, like Pam said earlier, the budget stabilization fund is we're using $572.5 million is what the balance is of that, and we did put a recommendation together. The Bank of North Dakota has been using, and that was probably one of our discussions yesterday, and we gave an approval last December for them to use 35% of the stabilization fund for, it's basically a CD in the Bank of North Dakota that they use for the investments, and the recommendation was to go to, it's going to be roughly about $200 million is what we're basically saying that they can use out of this fund. We're keeping it in the spirit of what the fund is used for, but that was a discussion yesterday of to use, because we're not getting much of a return on this, and yet we're trying to figure out how to use it so we do have it liquid, and we're going to get a report the next meeting we have on the liquidity of this fund, doing what we're doing with the Bank of North Dakota and stuff on it, and we didn't figure that 35% would jeopardize the intent of the law that it would tie up to the budget stabilization fund, but that's been an ongoing discussion with that, so I just wanted to make the committee aware of that this isn't, it's all in short-term investments in one way, but we're also looking, like I said, through the Bank of North Dakota, that there is some actual longer-term investment, but it's as a CD through the bank, and so that's where we're in the discussion with the bank right now of if something would happen, because there was, you know, this session did get to be kind of interesting that, you know, there was potential, and there actually still is potential going into next biennium that it could be used, and so we wanted to make sure that if we were going into these longer-term investments with that fund, that if something did happen or there was an allotment or something, that it would be available. So we're getting updates on that, but I just wanted to highlight that. The legacy fund, basically, we hit in January. It hit the allotments that we did 2 years ago. It is kind of, it's the net is 5.72% return to date on that, and it varies here a while back when we were in just basically fixed income. There for a while we were down around 1%, but the average over the term of the investments like 3.58 or something like that. It's in there, but what we're at now with the implementation of the way we allocated the investment, we're sitting at about 5.72. So otherwise, it's like Pam said, there's roughly about $3.3 billion in the legacy fund. We've earned, here I can get that right away here. We've earned about, in total for the up to fiscal year, we've earned about $68.5 million on it. And like I said, with our full implementation of the allocations, we're sitting around 5.72. So other than that, if there's any specific questions, I got a breakdown of what some of the investments. We've got different strategies. You can kind of read here in the front part here of our broad U.S. equities are 30%. The broad international equities are 20%. Our fixed income is 35%. The core real estate is 5, and the diversified assets are 10. And we've done pretty well on the U.S. equities. On the broad international equities, we actually had kind of a negative return on them. It wasn't much. And also on the TIPS, we had some negative number. It was like an 0.8 basis points, we're on the negative side on that. And that's basically, the reason that is it's basically an inflationary investment. And as everybody knows, that we've had, the interest rates have been near zero for quite a few years. And so that hasn't, but that isn't a big part of the investment anyways and stuff on it. But our total net is, like I said, we're still sitting around 5.8 or 7.2. So if there's any questions or anything, I can answer them.
Questions for Representative Kempinich?
I'm still on the plus side, so that's what. Okay, thank you.
No questions. Thank you. That concludes the formal agenda in terms of presentations and action items. Finally, any committee discussion or staff directives to go forward with, Representative or Senator Holmberg?
Mr. Chairman, the committee members should be reminded that earlier when Chris went through the memo, he talked about the 85 different duties that are on the lap of the budget section. And you should remember that there was a mandatory study that the Government Finance Committee will be doing this interim that looks at the duties and responsibilities of the budget section. So that our role here will be studied during the interim.
Any other questions or discussion, directives for staff? Representative Brandenburg?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think there should be some discussion for our next budget section meeting. It's brought to my attention that there's money going through the Fish and Game Department to the NRCS and employees with Ducks Unlimited and Fish and Game people and Pheasants Forever. And I really think we ought to have a report on that, because there's a lot of people with a lot of concerns out there having Fish and Game people employed and working in the NRCS office, conflict of interest. And so, anyway, I would ask for a report.
Okay. Anything else? Any other discussion or directives? Next meeting is tentatively September-ish sometime. So, keep your calendar open in September, I guess. With that, we'll entertain a motion. Senator Robinson, seconded by Senator Klein, to adjourn. Thank you. Committee will be adjourned. Is that what they want? I don't know. I think they'll put them away.